I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many men have wasted their lives in the foolish pursuit of Harmonoptera. Most have never returned.
I think you found something.
I call it the doorway to hell.
Oh my God, it does exist.
Welcome to Rewatchability. My name is Blaine Waters. With me, as always, is
Robert Leroux
and
J.M. McNabb.
And we want to quickly say thank you to our sponsors, HelloFresh and Endy Mattress. We are now out of J.M.'s basement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No more lovely basements.
Dripping pipes and
rats.
No, there were no, what? There were no rats and dripping
yeah,
pipes.
Yeah, I thought I saw
I saw something.
Yeah. and now we are part of the Antica Podcast Network. So we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
We're pretty excited about our sponsors. We're pretty excited about the support from Antica. So thank you all. And now we're going to talk about The Mummy. which seems like we're just insulting everyone by doing that. But
insulting everybody? I thought it was a beloved movie. They made like 5 sequels. It launched the career of The Rock, the next president.
I hope he's the next president. It's just turning into Idiocracy all over the world now.
Can't get any worse. No,
exactly. President Rock. I kind of like the sound of that. It makes it sound like the Flintstones or something.
Yeah.
But his name is actually Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. I don't think that they would call him President The Rock.
President LaRock is what we can call him. And we just want to take a second to thank our Patreon subscribers. Thank you so much for supporting us on there and giving us $1, $3, $5, $15 a month. We really appreciate it. And to get back at you, we have the podcast early at some levels, and
it's a form of revenge.
To get back at you makes sound like you're punishing.
Yeah, yeah. This is for giving us money. Here's content early, and
here's some discussion of The Mummy.
Deal with it.
Exactly. Yeah. But thank you very much for supporting us there. And if you want to, you can go to patreon.com/rewatchability to support us.
And we should mention that we're doing The Mummy this week because there's a new iteration coming out with Tom Cruise and a mummy.
And a mummy. And his
real mummy?
I think so.
Did you guys see that trailer of the pre-release trailer of The Mummy where Tom Cruise is just yelling all the time?
Oh, yeah, that's where the sound effects hadn't been finished yet.
That's all you hear, the entire trailer. It's so amazing. So that actually made me want to see the movie, but it made me want to see the old mummy.
Yeah, no, I'll go see the movie if they forget to put the sound effects in. I'll 100%, put down $13 to see that.
Exactly. Just Tom Cruise screaming.
I'd pay to see any Tom Cruise movie without the effects.
So, yeah, let's go around. When did we first see The Mummy, Rob?
You know, I think this is one of those movies that my siblings really liked, and so they watched it a lot. This was 1999, that it came out. So again, by that time, I was way beyond the sort of like action adventure blockbuster genre.
Yeah, we should say this is the Mummy that Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz.
Yeah, not the Boris Karloff one. Exactly. I watched that one first.
The 1932.
Yeah, that's right.
Blockbuster that it was, yeah.
Which is rewatchable, by the way, probably.
No, it probably is, yeah. Those were good movies back
classics.
Then. Classics. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't even know it, but they were building a cinematic universe. That, yeah, we'll talk about that.
They're like, one day Tom Cruise is going to be in one of these.
Yeah. Russell Crowe will stumble on set, presumably after playing a set with his band.
Yeah, but so I didn't really like it. And I didn't like Brendan Fraser.
You didn't like Brendan Fraser?
No, I know that he's like a Canadian boy and we're supposed to, you know, he
didn't
played Dudley Do-Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It seems insulting.
our Canadian sensibility?
Yeah, I don't know. So I didn't really get into it. And all the sequels came out. And I'm sure I saw parts of them. I think I saw part of The Scorpion King. But
Which part? The tail?
The claw.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it wasn't really, you know, I didn't really have any interest in rewatching it. But at the same time, they are still making them. And The Rock is going to be president. So that's good to start to know these things.
Yeah, exactly. What about you, Jim?
I saw this movie in the theater. I had just gotten my appendix out. And, you know, this came out in the...
Was the appendix then put in a small jar that someone had to then absorb back into their body?
Yeah, that's right. No, I saw this movie in the theater. I was off from school still because I had my appendix out. And it was right before Phantom Menace came out, I remember.
Oh, man.
And for me, I was not that excited about seeing The Mummy, but I was so ramped up to see Star Wars that it almost felt like a dry run to just go to the theater and see like a big dumb blockbuster.
You just wanted to like plan your entrance, get the right seats ready.
I was just really antsy because all I'd been doing up to that point, like I was bedridden in a hospital reading about Star Wars coming out. Mm-hmm. So I got it out of my system. I went to go see The Mummy.
Was there a lineup for The Mummy? Because I know there was like a lineup for Phantom Menace.
It was like noon on a Thursday. No one can. I think there was like some transients, you know, swilling vodka.
Wrapping rags around their face.
Yeah. You know, surprisingly enjoyable. I liked it at the time. Nice. And I think that's because I had no expectations and I may still have been taking painkillers, to be honest.
Makes sense.
But I hadn't seen it since.
And you were missing a part of yourself. So
yeah,
that's important.
All of the good taste filtering for movies was done mainly through the appendix. So.
Right. It caught all the poison in your body.
Huh? Right. Yeah. Exactly. What about you, Blaine?
I never watched this. This is one movie that kind of like slipped by.
Huh.
And I remember all my friends really loving it, but I was a big Indiana Jones fan, and I was like, this is just a ripoff of Indiana Jones. And they were like, no, man, no, bro, no. It's like so much better than that. And
what? Is it as better?
Yeah, some of my friends did. Not a lot. But they were like,
they're not your friends anymore.
It's so much action, there's so much comedy. And I was like, yeah, like Indiana Jones. And they're like, no, it's like Brendan Fraser, and there's so much like gun shooting. And I was like Indiana Jones. Like, no, it's like in Egypt. And anyway, I couldn't
like
keep
a temple
on
with traps.
Yeah, exactly.
He wears a hat.
There's a lot of hat.
He doesn't really wear a hat in this.
No, I guess that's right. No.
That's the key difference.
Yeah.
But okay. I did, when I was watching it this time, I was watching it with my fiance, and she was looking it up and being like, it says that this is about the French Foreign Legion and that the main character joins the French Foreign Legion, and that's where it like the story starts. And I was like, did anyone know that? Like, that's
I only knew that because I read the Wikipedia to find out what was happening in the first scene.
Right, yeah, because they were just shooting guns into the sand. It was.
I think Stephen Sommer wrote that after. Is that the director's name?
Stephen Sommers. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
He's like Buffy's uncle, I think.
But I did recognize the hats that they wore, those like white hats, because my friend joined the French Foreign Legion.
I was thinking about that when I was watching this. I thought maybe we should have had him as a guest on the show to find out if they really go around shooting at sand.
They do. He spent a lot of time in the desert, actually.
Did he find any mummies?
No. He just like dug holes and slept in them. That's like basically what they did in the French Foreign Legion, and cleaned stuff a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So no excitement for him.
Huh.
Yeah, it's too bad. Do you want to give me a rundown of the plot, Rob?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, sweet.
Well, it starts with this, I think, completely unnecessary prologue where it's in ancient Egypt, the land of the pharaohs. We see the pyramids, the Sphinx, still hasn't got its nose job done yet. Yeah, the Sphinx. Isn't that what I said?
Yeah, it's what you wear when you want to go out.
Yeah, if you want to look thinner than you are.
Exactly. Those you put your Sphinx on.
It's the Sphinx. With a PH.
The Sphinx. It gives you mysteries. You have to solve it.
Maybe the mystery is how to pronounce
his name. How do you pronounce my name, Oedipus?
Actually, I went to Egypt when I was a teenager. And
Wait, when you were a teenager?
Yeah, like after seeing the mummy, I was like, I gotta get to this place.
Check that place out.
Yeah.
No, actually, it probably was not that long after I saw the mummy, but the Sphinx is much smaller than you would think due to movies.
Oh, yeah?
It was, what a piece of shit. I mean, it was still impressive, but it was much smaller than you'd think.
That's the same thing as the Mona Lisa.
Is it much smaller?
Yeah.
It's very small, yeah. And you can't really see it because everyone's in front of you.
Right. There's a lot more heads.
Yeah. You can't see it through all the phones trying to take a picture of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so it takes place in the period of Pharaoh Seti I, maybe searching for aliens.
Yeah. I think that's the NASA.
But the narrator tells us that the Pharaoh's high priest, Imhotep, is having sex with one of his concubines.
Oh, man.
And he finds out.
Classic.
And he is not pleased.
No.
He stomps in there and he's like, Imhotep, and catches them in the act. So they stab him in the back.
Yeah.
Viciously.
And I didn't know, I watched this without subtitles. So I had, are there subtitles at this part? Were they talking?
Yes, of course there are.
Yeah, because you and me, Rob, watched it without subtitles, I guess. Because I was like, oh yeah, no, he's just running away because she's protecting him. And then she like stabs herself. And I was like, oh, I guess that's not what's happening.
Yeah.
Like it was all over the place.
Well, there is, I don't know if this is true, but on IMDb's trivia, it said originally the Imhotep himself was supposed to narrate this part. And then at the last minute, the director was like, oh, wait, he doesn't speak English. It should totally not be him narrating this part.
Little plot hole.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, she kills herself for some reason. And then he escapes.
With all these gold guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he's going to bring her back to life. But I think they only get like halfway through Resurrectus Interruptus. And the Pharaoh's old priests sort of come in and stop him.
Yeah.
And they kill him using the most horrific method of all, which is
giving him superpowers.
Yeah, exactly. Well, all the other priests, they make actual mummies and they do it to them live. So they like, you know, stick the needles up their noses and pull out their brains and you just hear their screams.
Yeah.
But this guy, Imhotep, they just wrap him up in toilet paper and put him in a sarcophagus with scarabs, which seems freaky deaky, but I'm glad. If it were me, I would prefer not to have my brain ripped out through my nose.
That's true.
Like, yeah, don't you think?
They all seem like terrible options.
Yeah.
There's no good option. But he gets the best option because they're like, oh, we'll do this. We'll like toilet paper you.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, they might have egged him. And they put scarabs in him and he's supposed to live forever and then also have the strength of time.
Yeah.
And like all these powers.
It's like, that's not really a punishment.
No. Like, what are you guys doing? You want to punish this guy?
Like, me next.
Yeah. It'd be like if, like, in certain states, they were like, with lethal injection, there was a clause that they might come back hundreds of years later and wreak havoc on the cities and the ancestors of those who wronged them.
May God have mercy on your soul. And may we have a superhero that can face you later.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll have it worked out by then.
Yeah, probably.
Well, so that's what happens. Yeah. Flash forward 3,000 years later. And Brendan Fraser's apparently in the French Foreign Legion, though they don't tell us that.
No.
We just see him being like chased by all these local militia people. We assume that they're angry that he's come along and colonized something or stole something. We don't know why. But it's just him and this other guy, Benny.
Who's always the guy that turns his back. He's always the backstabber.
Yeah, he's like the weaselly.
Total Recall, Benny. Come on. Every guy named Benny will hurt you.
Yeah, don't trust anyone named Benny. That's what that Elton John song, Benny and the Jets, was about. He betrayed him. But yeah, this guy, he even like closes the door before Brendan Fraser can get through while like the guys are like coming after him. But he manages to escape the militia and sort of runs into the desert and finds himself in these ruins. And they're very mystical ruins. Like all ruins are pretty mystical. And he sort of awakens something. We see like a face in the sand.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird. I don't understand how he awakened it. Just by being there?
Yeah.
But then, know, it's like, just like in the first shot, people are like running by it.
Yeah, but
they weren't as handsome as him.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. Okay, I buy that.
That makes sense.
I buy that, yeah.
Anyway, so that's his little part. Then we get to Rachel Wise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love her. She's so good.
Yeah, me too.
She's wonderful.
The Brothers Bloom, have you guys seen that?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, she's so good in that.
She's good in that.
Yeah, she's really
What's that Neil LaBute movie where she kind of tortures Paul Rudd? Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
The Mummy Returns.
The Scorpion King.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so she's like some sort of Egyptologist or something. She's working in a library. We get some library antics for the folks who thought that the best part of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade were the library scenes.
Were the scenes where they destroy a library.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This felt like some like punch up. They had a writer's room and they're like, okay, we have a scene in a library, but nothing exciting. How do we make a scene in a library exciting?
It's the Domino Regional Library, like where all the bookcases are set up to fall.
Why can't they just have a scene where she's reading a book? She has to destroy the whole library.
No, and she does some like Cirque du Soleil shit on a ladder. Like it's very, there's a lot going on.
It's kind of entertaining, I guess.
Yeah.
It sort of sets some of the tone for the movie. Mm-hmm. But she gets berated by the guy from Encino Man who tells Pauly Shore not to wheeze the juice.
That's right.
That's the other thing I recognize it from. Which I guess that's a reunion between Brendan Fraser and that guy.
So some universal continuity here where it's like the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the same guy. Presumably Brendan Fraser was frozen in ice before he joined the French Foreign Legion.
They thawed him out to
fight. Well, he just kind of looked like that when we see him in the next scene. He has the long hair and he's filthy and he looks very caveman-like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Rachel Weisz is visited by her like drunken lout of a brother who has this like puzzle box, which kind of looks like Biff Tannen's ashtray from Back to the Future Part 2 when it opens up.
Sure, yeah.
And
it's a deep cut. That's good. That's good. I like it.
But they want to find, you know, this is like the secret to whatever magic treasure they're looking for. And Brendan Fraser, they know, will know where to find it or whatever. So they go to him. He's in jail and he's not very cooperative. And it turns out they're actually going to hang him. The warden is going to hang him by the neck till he dies. And so they have to intervene.
Because he's the only one who knows how to get to the lost city.
Yeah, the city where like all the gold, the riches of the pharaohs is contained underneath the sand.
Yeah. It's like where they buried all the pharaoh's kids or whatever.
Yeah. What's it called? Karma Sutra?
Kama Sutra. It's like they get there and have to do a lot of weird stuff to get that gold.
These hieroglyphics are filthy.
Yeah. I can't even touch that part of my body with that other part of my body.
Yeah. Well, so they negotiate for Brendan Fraser's life. And
as he hangs, they let him, they're like, he didn't break his neck.
Yeah.
Time to start negotiating.
And he dies.
Yeah.
No, he actually passes away.
No. I think you saw a different cut. I think.
No?
Yeah.
I turned it off. I thought it was over.
Yeah. Wow, that's a cool short film. Had a lot of promise. Could have gone a lot of different directions.
That's about mortality.
It would be great if the whole movie was just like an occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge, and just the very end of the movie was just his neck snapping, and the whole thing was just a hallucination.
Right.
As he slowly.
It's in the 5 seconds before, between.
Exactly.
When his soul leaves his body.
Okay, but I did read that on the IMDb trivia that when they were filming this, it went wrong, and he did actually almost die.
Oh,
and
really?
They had to resurrect him in the City of the Dead. No, using modern medicine.
I think you mean resuscitate him.
Yeah.
Resurrect. Oh, yeah.
They took him to the hotel pool, dipped him in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's...
Wow, he almost actually died for this movie.
Yeah, can you imagine dying for the mummy?
Yeah, that sucks.
But it would have really lent some gravity to the Tom Cruise film.
Yeah. Yeah. Can Tom Cruise pull it off? Can he survive the mummy? Yeah.
No, but they, at the last minute, they get the warden to spare his life by agreeing to give him a cut and letting them go with him to the lost city of
Hamanatra?
Yeah, Hamanatra.
There we go. Yeah, you got it.
That's also a great coffee blend. Good beans. So they go there. And then there's also like this American team who's also looking for it. And they're all like snooty.
Being led by Benny.
Yeah.
The other guy who knows where the city is. And this is maybe a good juncture to mention that this movie portrays every Arab character as garbage.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and mostly played by, like, American actors, too.
Well, oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
But it's also, like, there are several Arab characters, and they're all just sniveling and obsessed with money. It's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very loud. They're very angry. It's a crazy stereotyped role for every single one.
It's not very culturally accurate. And even, like, the few actors who play Arabs who are played by people who are Arab are, like, not Egyptian. They're, like, from England and have, like, these weird, like, cartoon accents, like the warden.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, he's the cartoon from Aladdin. Like, he's literally that guy. It's nuts. His whole body type is that guy.
Yeah.
It's weird. They're like, let's cast for that guy. Anyway, he's a little much.
Yeah. Can you imagine if they, like, I mean, I don't know how the new Mummy has been cast, but, like, remember
there's
Ridley's
two white people in the main roles, so that's pretty good. Yeah.
But when Ridley Scott made that Gods and Monsters movie, like, the flack that he got.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Wait, what?
You know, he made that Ridley Scott made that Gods and Monsters
Not
movie.
Gods and Monsters is the movie about James Whale with Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, that's why you said it. Yeah, I went with you on that. I was what's like, yeah, that? Maybe Brendan Fraser did something
Oh, you
wrong.
Mean Gods of Egypt?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that? I don't think that was Ridley Scott.
Yeah, I think it was.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't
Disappointing,
think so. Maybe
Ridley.
It was.
We'll let our listeners correct us.
So they're going after this lost city.
Yeah, they're on a riverboat, and the guys that are sworn to protect the Holy Grail. The legend, the lost city.
Yeah, get it right.
God, yeah, sorry, it's so confusing with a really good Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah, that whole thing is straight out of Last Crusade. The secret society that's going to protect.
That has been protecting it forever, and they have like tattoos.
They have like face tattoos.
To know where the. Anyway.
And they do that part where they have to like use the light to find the right path. That's from Last Crusade, too.
That's from the first Raiders one. Yeah, from Raiders.
They're all the same.
We didn't mention my favorite part of the movie because Rachel Weisz has kind of a She's All That moment where she previously hated Brendan Fraser and wanted nothing to do with him. Yeah. And he shows up with a haircut and a suit and just swoons.
Yeah, she's like, why is this guy on our trip? And then he comes and she's like, that guy should be on our trip.
He looks so much less handsome dangling from that noose.
Yeah, his face was all red and blue and purple.
While we haggled over treasure.
He defecated himself. That wasn't attractive.
No, but the suit and this haircut.
Cleans up nice.
Yeah, it doesn't smell like poo anymore. Yeah. Let's have him on board.
And we should also mention in the treating people like garbage category, he treats her, the only woman in the movie, terribly.
Yeah.
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 Like he kisses her without her consent in the first scene. Mm-hmm. And then later he throws her off the boat.
Yeah. I love that she asks on the boat, like, why did you kiss me? Like it was something that like maybe there was a spark there that she didn't know before because it was long hair because he looked like Encino Man.
Because I don't respect consent.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. It's like the 20s now, so that's okay, right?
Yeah. I feel like though that was like a staple of like
blast from the past.
Yeah.
This genre of movies. Like I'm pretty sure Indiana Jones kissed some women without asking first.
Probably. Well, the whole backstory of Indiana Jones and Marion is, you know, people have talked about how troubling that
pretty rapey. Is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I just think we should hold them both accountable.
Okay, sure, yeah. It's inspired by Indiana Jones not only in the wonderful cinematic ways, but in the terrible character ways.
It's a tradition.
Yeah. Okay, so then what happens? So they're off to the city.
Yeah, they go to the city and there's all the traps inside the temple.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there's three guys.
That I think was completely original.
Yeah.
I didn't get that from anything.
And there's three guys.
I think there was a rolling boulder.
That are led by Benny that look exactly like our main character, Brendan Fraser. In every way. Except there's this one guy with a short tie, and that's the only way I could differentiate him.
They're the other three guys who auditioned for his part.
Yeah, exactly.
And the dad from Jumanji.
Oh, yeah.
He's there, too.
Oh, yeah, right.
He plays the rival Egyptologist. But while they're there, the warden guy, he, like, picks some trophy scarab things off the wall and steals them, and he becomes...
Oh, in the Lost City. Yeah.
Yeah, the first victim of the curse. He sort of, like, eats into him and, like, eats into his brain.
I remember that. I saw that in the trailer when I was a kid. And I remember that being like kind of cool, like the thing that would like crawl under your skin. Like that seemed very frightening and awesome.
But now it just looks ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it also looks like they didn't put the CG scarab where he was attacking himself. Like he'd hit his belly and it was already in his chest. You'd be like, you're late. Like, what are you doing?
They should have had a guy.
It's almost as if he was distracted by something.
Being eaten alive by a scarab? Nah.
Yeah. So they find like this. Like chest, the American team finds this chest and it reads, the inscription reads like, whoever opens this will die.
Well, and to get the chest out, they like, the acid gets thrown in people's faces.
Yeah, that's right. They make the workers go and open the thing.
Yeah.
And like, you know.
And they use crowbars to do it, exactly like Indiana Jones 1. Anyway.
This is the most derivative part, the crowbars.
Yeah, I know. Come on, guys.
That's the reason why Stephen Sommers made this movie, because he's such a big fan of the crowbar scene.
Yeah, exactly.
He even changed his first name to Stephen.
Yeah. It was to get leverage.
Yeah.
Wait, what's his name?
No, I don't know. I think that's probably Stephen. They unveil a curse. But actually, it's Rachel Weisz that really tips it, because she reads from this forbidden book.
Yeah, that's right. The Book of the Dead.
Yeah.
Never read anything called The Book of the Dead aloud.
No.
Yeah.
It always seems like a mistake.
If only she'd seen Army of Darkness.
Yeah. But it's weird that they put that on, like, her in this story. Like, it wasn't the other guys that started reading from it, and then Brendan Fraser had to clean up their mess, or Brendan Fraser doing it, that he had to clean up his own mess. It was kind of like, it was her.
Yeah, because she's kind of positioned as the smartest character in the movie. So then to have her do something so stupid.
Yeah, it's a Prometheus move is what I'm going to call it. It's okay. Like have like the very smart person in the thing do something very, very stupid.
Right.
Well, she has book smarts, not temple smarts, right. You know.
Right.
So, I guess she is reading from a book, so that's pretty dumb.
Moral of this movie is don't read books.
Listen to podcasts and watch movies.
Watch Brendan Fraser movies.
And push down on the shelves in libraries.
Stupid books. But I guess also in the movie's defense, she doesn't believe in the hokum of the mummy's curse.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
So reading it aloud is just her delving into what she loves, the Egyptology stuff.
Yeah.
And it's the other guy's like, no, you've cursed us all. Humanity is over. And yeah.
Which guy is that?
It's the guy who fell asleep with the book on him to just let it go.
Mm. Oh, yeah. The guy.
The other Egyptologist from the rival
team. The guy from Jumanji.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so the curse is enacted. Imhotep is risen.
And he's just like sinew and bone.
Yeah. He's like really bad CG.
He looks like that weird like German art exhibit from a few years ago.
Oh, Bodyworks.
Bodyworks. He's like one of those guys.
For sure.
Well, no, but he doesn't have his eyes yet and his tongue. He has to take them from this other guy whose name is Mr. Burns for some reason.
Excellent.
Smithers, why can't I see? That's a terrible Mr. Burns.
Was he Scottish?
Probably. Ah, Mr. Burns Day? That's a thing, right? And so Imhotep has to like take back all of his like parts from the people who opened the chest. So that's like what he sort of ends up doing with the help of Benny.
Mm-hmm. He takes one of the American guys' eyes and tongue.
Yeah, that's Mr. Burns.
Yeah, Mr. Burns. And that guy's like left walking around. And then the guy stumbles onto Rachel Weisz. And we see another scene that I didn't have subtitles for. But it's that guy saying like, oh, JM, fill it in. But it's the mummy not killing her because he will use her to resurrect his wife.
Yeah, well, at first it kind of seems like he thinks that's his girlfriend. He's kind of
like
just talking to her.
Like the only girl. He's like, oh, you're the only girl. You must be my girlfriend.
It's like Bram Stoker's Dracula.
But to be fair,
exactly.
It's not even his eyes. Like, he's a little confused.
Yeah,
and that guy needed glasses, so he never puts on the glasses.
Oh my God, that's an amazing point.
Can you imagine that the mummy was just blind the entire movie?
Yeah. Well, not blind, just like, you know, nearsighted.
Right.
Could this whole movie have been, could that evil have been quelled with lens crafters?
He's like, oh, you're not my girlfriend.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
I'm going back to sleep.
You guys aren't all scary blobs. You guys are just people like me. Can we all just join forces?
It was like in his mind, it was like a Planet of the Apes like scenario. Area where Earth had been taken over by gray blobs.
Oh my God, in the future everyone lost shape.
At the end he just finds a pair of glasses, presumably from somebody he killed, and he's like, what have I done?
Yeah, and then he takes the glasses off slowly and crunches them under his foot because he doesn't want to see the world that way.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing if that's poetic. Where the Tom Cruise one is going.
No, just a small oversight or undersight, I guess.
Well, they do try to like humanize the monster like with this love story, this Romeo and Juliet type love story.
And I feel bad for the monster because he's just trying to get his girl.
Like, yeah, well, he's kind of a dick about it.
Yeah, well,
First of all, he's shupping the pharaoh's concubine. I mean, I know he has plenty to go around.
But love, man. Love.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, people like you who get bound up in toilet paper and fed to scarabs.
Yeah, Tuesday night. But yeah, I think that I really felt for him because all he's trying to do is something good.
Yeah, through a human sacrifice.
Well, that's because someone else did that to her. And so he's just having...
Two wrongs don't make a right, Blaine. Have you sacrificed somebody?
No.
Something you want to talk about?
not right now. No, so they kind of like leave this set piece pretty soon. They run away back to Cairo.
They have to get the Book of Amun-Ra or whatever. Like the book that they have is the Book of the Dead, but they need another book to break the curse or whatever. Right. There's also 10 plagues happening. They're throwing all the Egypt shit at this. Right. There's like the locusts and...
10 plagues sounds like an awful theme park.
10 plagues I hate about you.
Yeah, there's all the water turns to blood at one point.
Yeah.
While they're drinking it.
What else happens in the Bible?
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, some other stuff. I don't
know. They turned to salt. I don't know.
Yeah, well, so then they have to go get this other book, and Imhotep's chasing them, but also like regenerating as he kills all these other people.
Yeah, he kidnaps Rachel Weisz to be his sacrifice to bring back his girlfriend.
Yeah, and Brendan Fraser wants to go after her, but the guy's like, let her go.
And then they enlisted the help of Winston Churchill, right? That's who that is. That he's kind of a stand-in for Winston Churchill. He's called Winston.
Yeah, what's that guy's name?
Winston.
Oh yeah.
This guy had a mustache though.
Yeah, I don't know. It was very weird.
I think that was
weird.
Just the only British name they could think of.
Winston. Yeah. J.L. Winston.
I mean, you're a writer. You probably saw this as a well executed plot point because we meet him. Early on in the movie, we meet him back at the hotel, and you're like, why are they introducing this drunken British fighter pilot?
Mm-hmm. They give us all his exposition in one line, and then he walks away, so that'll never come back.
He just says he wants a chance to die in glory, and how he wished he'd been shot down during the war instead of living in...
I'll take anything. The Germans, a mummy, any chance I get to get...
You know what I'd really love? Being in a plane, getting drowned in quicksand. At the same time, I don't know, it seems impossible, but that...
You could shoot me right now. I'm begging you. Shoot me right now. Right now.
Just let me get out of this movie, please. So they get on a plane. We haven't talked about Rachel Weisz's brother.
Oh, yeah.
The
drunken lout, who, in order to find out that he's her brother, he says, sister of mine, like five times at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
It's really weird. I don't know if you guys have siblings. Do you call them?
I don't have
siblings. You don't have a sibling.
But you know, thanks for doing the podcast with me for 6 years and not knowing that.
Oh, man. All right. I'm sorry. No. Who's that Derek guy then?
Oh, we don't talk about him anymore.
He was always in the basement. I don't know. Weird.
just a border.
He called you brother, though. That was... Anyway, I thought you... But you did you ever call your sibling, like... Sibling?
I don't call them at all.
He does if there's an audience watching to explain things.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I really like John Hannah.
Yeah, yeah, he's like a
I enjoyed
good touch.
Him in this.
He doesn't really have that much to do, though.
He kind of does some quips. I mean,
he's a comedic relief. Yeah.
In one of the other scenes that's really terrible to Rachel Weisz's character, when they're going to find the Egyptologist, Brendan Fraser literally, she's like, I want to come too. I'm clearly the most informed person here. And Brendan Fraser throws her on the bed and locks the door.
Yeah, and then tells the men not to let her leave.
Yeah, and then says to John Hannah, who is... been drunk for, several hours at this point, says, okay, you're with me. It's like, well, maybe you should take the...
One of the guys with the guns.
Like, why wouldn't you take the woman who's actually knows what's going on? Instead, you take her alcoholic brother.
Yeah.
Who's just a liability.
Yeah. Well, maybe he has more booze.
That's a good point.
He's probably more fun.
This all turned to blood at this point.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
I like that your defense, Rob, is like, he'd take the fun person, right?
No, I know. It does seem like really outdated even in 1999.
Well, yeah, I get that the movie's like a throwback to the kinds of movies where society hated women and minorities, but like... Yeah. Surely in 1999, someone along the way would have been like, like a studio executive could have said.
Like a 90-year-old man could have said, the 20s were a little bit more forward-thinking than that even. Oh.
A 90-year-old man is like, we were actually really shitty to women, so you do a better job.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, this was not that long ago. It was 1999.
Yeah.
18 years ago.
Okay, that sounds like a long time ago when you say it like that.
Yeah.
Rewatchability is just about making us feel old, I think.
But I think like Indiana Jones probably did shit like that as well, like where the women couldn't come on the adventures or, lock her up to keep her safe. Or I mean, it's bullshit, but it's a tradition of bullshit.
Yeah, for sure.
Not defending it. I'm just saying that.
No.
But I don't know. I would like to see a movie that can be a throwback to the good parts of, these early pulp stories, but also rectify maybe some of the more troublesome aspects of it. That's all I'm saying. I think you can import the good parts while kind of weeding out the things that we've evolved past.
I mean, if you're being unrealistic about mummies coming back from the dead, you might as well be a little bit progressive and have women come out on the adventures too.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, if there's something that's so unbelievable, like a mummy do it, like coming back to life. Like, yeah. I mean, I do think that like Rachel Weisz has stuff to do in this. She's not like the worst movie for a female lead.
Yeah.
She does have to, at one point, convince Brendan Fraser that she made this mess and she's going to clean it up. So that's kind of cool. As he's trying to pack his bags, she's like, no, we have to face this. So there is some good to her character, I feel.
Yeah, and they're all kind of like making Brendan Fraser's character out to be like the sort of like roguish asshole sort of like Harrison Ford type, you know, who's generally grumpy, disagreeable, terrible to everybody.
Yeah.
But I still especially think the women. There's a lot. I mean, I think Indiana Jones, to a certain extent, did take those archetypes from the pulps and serials and change them around. Like, I mean, a couple of things they did. One, they made him really vulnerable. Like, there are those scenes where he's, you know, getting patched up after his adventures. Like, I think that's something that really resonated with people and why that character's endured for such a long time. And the other thing is, like, he's a smart guy. Like, he's a professor and he knows what's going on. Brendan Fraser's just a big dummy.
Yeah.
He's dumb. He just shoots. Like, even, like, long after the point where they're like, we need a magic book to kill the mummy, he's still shooting, like, six shooters at the mummy.
Well, this movie essentially, like, splits Indiana Jones into two characters, into the Brendan Fraser character and into the Rachel Weisz character.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
So
I like it. And then it's all just inner turmoil for that.
They just need to get together and be one person,
right?
As a couple.
Yeah, like that character in Legion. They can just need to work together.
Or the mummy who is absorbing other people into their body.
Yeah. It's about togetherness, this movie.
Exactly. Yeah.
Did you guys ever see the Karloff original?
No.
I think I watched it around this time, and there is a lot more similarities than you'd think. They didn't just kind of take the title and make their, like, I think like this new one looks like they're kind of just doing their own thing. But the original was pretty much like the same structure of a story. It's about him, you know, he pieces himself together slowly. He's trying to resurrect his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Same name, Imhotep, is the same mummy.
It's a cool, it's a cool plot in terms of the absorbing of other people and also like that he's trying to get his girlfriend back. Like, as a bad guy, that's a pretty good plot to have, I'd say, because other monster movies, you're just a monster. I mean, you're not trying to do anything good. You're not trying to, you don't have a story really. You're just the Swamp Thing. You know,
Swamp Thing's got a lot of great stories, Blaine. I'm going to stop you right there before we get a flood of emails.
A swamp.
Yeah. If you've ever read,
you're not Gill Man. You know?
Oh, yeah. Gillman.
You know, that classic
Gillman. That classic character.
He just eats people.
I did want to mention, just talking about the cultural artifacts that we still have from this movie, there is still a ride at Universal Studios for this movie.
Archaeologists really? Recently dug it up.
Is Brendan Fraser in the animatronic part?
I think he's in like a movie part that plays while you're in line.
Okay.
I went on it.
Just give me another role. What? This is a weird ride.
It's just Brendan Fraser on the ride.
Yeah.
But it's a ride where it's basically just like a straight ahead roller coaster that goes super fast.
Okay.
And then at the end of it, you
someone
go
throws sand in your eyes. Ah, what the fuck?
It was just a regular roller coaster. And they just throw sand at you.
Yeah.
No, but it goes super fast. And then you enter this kind of like temple or something where Imhotep comes up and says you're cursed or something. And I didn't look up anything about this ride before going on. I just kind of hopped on at the last minute before we left Universal Studios, my friend and I. And after that point, when the mummy curses you, you go backwards.
Oh,
just
really?
As fast.
Oh, that's cool.
It is terrifying.
That's like the bat at Canada's Wonderland.
Yeah, but it's completely straight and it's for like the whole ride. It's a really long ride and it's super fast. It was, I was completely caught off guard.
That's cool.
Ride.
That's all right.
It's weird that we did the movie that we did this week and the movie that we did last week both have rides.
Yeah.
They both steal from Indiana Jones. They both have curses.
Yeah.
Are we cursed?
I think maybe.
Can we do a better movie next week?
Yeah, Temple of Doom. No. What we're gonna do.
Oh, and I did want to mention, like, you know, the original movie and by extrapolation, this movie, we're kind of influenced by the stories of the early 20th century of mummy curses, like the King Tut curse.
Yeah.
Which I remember reading about a bit in school, but I looked up some of it now, was all bullshit. Like Howard Carter, who discovered King Tut's tomb, lived until his 60s, like years and years after that.
Well, 60s is still pretty young. I don't know.
Not back then.
No.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
And the thing about, like, the reason why I think some people were dying doing that is because that's not a healthy thing to do.
No.
To excavate, you know, these rooms that have been sealed off.
Poltergeist had more curse on it.
These old dead people?
Yeah.
Just breathing in this mummy dust.
Right, yeah. Or you're like rotten corpses.
But I find there's something kind of fascinating about the fact that this kind of, you know, spurious rumor of a curse is still something that we're making movies about, you know, over 100 years later.
Wait, so you're saying there's no such thing as curses?
I didn't say that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's why he's wearing his evil eye around his neck. Yeah. So, ward off the curse.
No, but I don't know. I just find that kind of interesting that it's something intellectually we'd all know is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But there's still something about that legend that they're making a movie about it now with Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are certain stories that kind of just keep on coming back again and again. And, like, being cursed is one of them. It's now in, like, B horror movies and stuff like that. What's the Sam Raimi one that he made?
Drag Me to Hell?
Yeah, Drag Me to Hell.
No, but like, I even mean specifically like the curse of the mummy.
The curse of the mummy, yeah.
Maybe Tom Cruise likes mass hysteria. Like he did War of the Worlds. That was an event of mass hysteria that was overblown. The curse of the mummy, same deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That Today Show interview where he ragged on Brooke Shields.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't like mothers. Curse of the Mummy? Yeah, okay. You get it. What do you guys think about the look of this new mummy movie? Have you seen the trailers for it?
Yeah, I mean...
It has that lady mummy.
Yeah, lady mummy is cool. I like the two pupils. I think that's kind of cool.
Her name's Sophie Boutella, I think.
Yeah.
Is she Egyptian?
She was from the last Star Trek movie Kingsman, and she's really good. I like her. Mm-hmm. She could be good in this.
Is she like the Knife Legs?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, man.
She played Knife Legs.
No, but like that's kind of her character. She was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, she's knife great. Legs?
Yeah, in Kingsman.
I think you can figure out what Blaine means by the name.
Okay.
But it does, because I watched the trailer after having watched the Frasier movie, and there was more in it referencing that one than I thought. Like, there's the face cloud.
Right.
Where it's like her
like
face
how we have
cloud.
No names for anything. Just knife legs and face cloud.
Well, they don't tell us what the face cloud's name is. Yeah. They don't tell us the face cloud's
Bob,
name
the face cloud.
I'm sorry, did you not know what I meant by face cloud?
Well, did you not?
So isn't it like on the cover of the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like the big image because they also, at one point, they like fly the biplane through it.
Exactly.
It chases them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they Rachel Weisz stops him from doing the face cloud by making out with the mummy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing that can beat face cloud is another face.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
There you go.
It would be funny if like then the face just like started like making out in the air.
You just see like a lot of tongue. You're like, tongue, oh, that's like, what's going on there.
Starts making out with the tail of the airplane.
Just everyone in Cairo is on the streets. What?
Jesus.
I'm kind of turned on.
But yeah, so I don't know. It does look like they're taking a bit of a different track. Like Tom Cruise dies in it apparently and comes back.
Yeah, which is kind of cool. I wonder who they sacrificed for that. Must be someone from Scientology.
Yeah, that's
like another
right.
Scientologist.
But
somebody
also
from Sea Org.
Yeah,
this is like the tentpole movie for their new cinematic universe of Universal movies.
Right.
As I mentioned earlier, Russell Crowe shows up as like Dr. Jekyll, I guess.
Right.
What do you guys think about that?
I don't think that's a good idea because. I mean, the same director who made The Mummy made Van Helsing, which was essentially like the culmination of like that universe as well. And that was the worst fucking movie I've ever fucking seen.
Yeah, I really did not like that movie. And I actually, like, I kind of liked the second Mummy too at the time. Yeah. So I went into it thinking, oh, this will be another fun. It was not fun.
And not even like so bad it could be fun in a campy way. Because it has all these universal monsters, the werewolf and the Dracula and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
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 Should be a good one. But
I kind of like Russell Crowe as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde because that's how I feel about him as an actor. Like he's been in some like really great stuff where I'm like, oh, you're a good guy. And then other stuff where I'm like, that was awful.
I thought you meant because like he seems like an okay guy, but then Mr. Hyde's just like hitting people with phones in hotel lobbies.
No, for sure. That's also very, very true.
Yeah. It seems like he was Mr. Jekyll like 20 years ago, and now he's just Mr. Hyde permanently.
Right. But is that exciting for you guys at all? I mean, you're not so excited about it. Blaine, do you think a universal
movie
universe would be good?
I'm not really into movie universes.
Yeah.
Like, I like a standalone movie. I really like because that's the form. That's what you do for movies is you tell a complete story.
This is a new form.
It's a new form, I think, that we've had all along, which is TV. So I feel like, I don't know, like, I like what Netflix is doing with, like, their kind of, even though they're not doing that so successfully with the Hell's Kitchen stuff. But I think, I don't know. Making everyone go see 20 movies to understand a full story is just feels, I mean, it is a cash grab, but it feels like a cash grab instead of like telling a story, basically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these are recycled properties anyway. So yeah. they're gonna bring them back in some form. They might as well team them up and save the universe or whatever.
Yeah, I am kind of excited for this mummy movie. I do kind of want to see it. Yeah, against my better judgment, I think it looks fun. I don't know.
You're gonna have to have another surgery to go see it.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to have to elect to have another piece of me removed so I can really enjoy.
Yeah.
So I can get that sweet morphine. Yeah.
Just fully take the movie in.
I can hook you up.
Yeah, okay, great.
Nice.
Wow. Did you guys see the sequels? Yeah, obviously, you didn't because you didn't see the original.
No, I saw parts of the sequel, though. Like, I saw the scorpion from The Scorpion King. I saw the abysmal. What do you guys think of the effects in the first one, the one that we're talking about now?
Well, they're not great.
Yeah, they're not great. They're not great, but they're
I thought Face Cloud was pretty good.
Face Cloud was fine.
Face Cloud, always pleasant when Face Cloud comes around. Love Face Cloud. But I thought some of it was all right for the time period. They didn't spend a lot of time on it. Every time I mentioned the time period, I'm like, oh, the 90s, that's pretty good for the 90s. And then I'm like, Jurassic Park, fuck.
I thought you meant like, oh, it was pretty good for the 20s.
But there's that like opening sequence where they're showing the Sphinx. And the pyramid.
Yeah.
And there's like, and they show like the workers and everybody working on it. And it seems like one of those condo ads where they haven't built it yet. And they've just like, you know, put all these fake people without faces on it.
Yeah. Well, and those guys with the scimitars, is that what they're called? The swords, the curved swords, the three of them, they're the exact same and do the exact same movements at the same time.
Yeah.
It's bad. They're like, we have one design here and we're going to copy it three times to have three different.
Yeah, like the
people.
CG kind of reminds me of like the Heritage Minute where like the face comes out of the tree. You remember that one?
Yeah. I don't think any of our American listeners know what you're talking about right now.
It's bad.
Look it up on YouTube. It's amazing. Heritage Minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I think there were some good parts. I thought the mummy himself, when he's first kind of reanimated, I thought he looked all right.
It was pretty cool, although pretty cartoony. Mm-hmm. Like, it,
yeah.
Yeah. It was very.
Oh, the guy's missing eyes did not look good.
No. It looked like he got stung by bees.
Yeah, or Judge Doom at the end of Roger Rabbit.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. But the CG, if it was bad in this one, is even worse in the second one from what I've seen.
Really?
With the Scorpion King, with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and his face just like looks like it's from Goldeneye.
Wow. Yeah,
just
yeah.
Looks like, right. Looks like they print, like someone drew a cartoon onto a piece of paper and then just taped it to his face.
To be fair, that's how the Rock always kind of looks.
Yeah, yeah. He looks kind of perfect all the time.
And did you see The Scorpion King, either of you?
I think I did, but I can't really remember.
Yeah. No, did you?
I watched some of it on video. I didn't go to the theater for that one.
And how you doing?
It must have been missing you.
I'm still reeling. Yeah, no, I was, you know, I was not interested in seeing a Scorpion King movie.
That was just the Scorpion. Like, was it
What's
Brendan
the
Fraser
premise of
or
the Scorpion King?
Like it's like a flashback to when he was the Scorpion King. It's not
so.
You know,
it all takes place in ancient Egypt.
Yeah, exactly. It's I don't know if there are any like bookended scenes or anything in modern day, but. Definitely the bulk of it is
in the theory, past. That sounds so interesting. Like Apocalypto or something like that.
Right.
Like you could tell a really interesting story like that, and you wouldn't have to have, like, you know, the white guy come in and save things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they do.
Yeah, I don't remember. I was half paying attention to it, but I didn't care for it.
So Rachel Weisz, Brendan Fraser were not in it?
No.
No, I don't think so.
And were they in any subsequent mummy movies?
Well, they made a third one. They made, like, the Tomb of the Dragon Emperor or something.
Oh my God.
I was totally off board the franchise by that point.
Oh yeah, wait, did they go to like Asia for that one?
Yeah, I think so.
That makes sense with the dragon thing.
No, yeah, it does.
They're like, we've pissed off everyone in Egypt.
Yeah, we have to go. We can't make movies here anymore. Or in the sands of the California desert. That's kind of where they probably did it.
Or in like a studio painted green.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I got the title right. The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor from 2008.
Wow.
And it's still Brendan Fraser and John Hannah, but I think Rachel Weisz had
moved on to bigger and better
moved
things.
Moved on, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not great.
Do you guys think that Brendan Fraser will have like a little cameo in this new mummy?
Sadly,
like,
no.
Hey, I'm Brendan Fraser.
I would love that.
Just as I want him to be at Brendan Fraser.
Or Encino Man.
Or as Encino Man. They're digging. They dig him out of the sand. It's great. They leave him to thaw and he goes to high school.
Yeah, well, I guess the new one must take place in modern day, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he wakes up in a body bag at one point in the trailer.
Yeah.
They're in that plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm.
There were no fedoras or, you know, no one was smoking on the plane. I assume it's a, right. it's a modern plane.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
He couldn't bring any gels.
So that's an interesting, yeah. I don't know. I think it could be good.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm excited for Russell Crowe's Dr. Jekyll movie, but.
No, it's hard to get excited for Russell Crowe. If he's teamed like the Nice Guys, he was awesome in the Nice Guys.
Oh yeah. If Ryan Gosling plays Mr. Hyde, I'd right. be on board.
And Jane Black directs it, yeah. then yeah, that'd be great. So did you guys consider this movie rewatchable, Rob?
No. You know, we just watched like a thrill ride blockbuster movie last week.
Yeah.
And this movie had so many of the similar beats and everything like that. I just thought it was really boring. And it rips off so much of Indiana Jones, and it doesn't like play it in like a...
Especially that crowbar scene.
In yeah. like a new or different way. It doesn't bring a new spin to the Mummy series. Like, I guess I appreciate that it tries to humanize the monster, but it's just ripping off Bram Stoker's Dracula when it sort of does that. It's the same sort of backstory.
Yeah.
And so it just seems like a pastiche of all these other things held together by CGI. So I'm going to say not rewatchable.
If it's held together by CGI, then that's not held together at all.
Yeah.
What about you, Jam?
It's hard to say because I actually did enjoy watching this movie. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really well paced and I was never bored.
Mm-hmm.
But just because of those issues I brought up earlier, the blatant racism and sexism, I kind of have to say it's not rewatchable because I don't think, like, I think even in 99 that raised eyebrows, and I think now it's especially horrible.
Yeah.
So I kind of think, yeah, maybe we should let this movie die and never watch it again, even though I kind of had fun watching it.
And never bring it back to life.
Well, yeah. I mean, I say that, but there's an asterisk in 1,000 years. No. I reserve the right for it to come back. And
Brendan Fraser, reanimated. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I have to say, even though I kind of enjoyed it, I have to say it's got too many problems.
Yeah.
What about you?
I found that the pacing wasn't great for me because the pacing of the action was really great, but they went between two places and they visited each two to three times. They were like at the tomb and they were in the city and then they were at the tomb and then they were in the city. And it just felt like a lot of like repetitive stuff.
Yeah, ping pong.
Yeah. And there was no forward movement like, oh, we escaped the tomb. We have to go back to the tomb because that's where the thing is we need. Why do we escape? We could have solved it then.
Actually, how many tombs do you think they have in Egypt?
Exactly.
That kind of reminds me of actually the movie I was talking about earlier, episode one.
Right.
Because like they spend the whole movie trying to get out of Naboo and then they get to Khorasan. They're like, well, we should probably go back to Naboo. Like, what? Yeah. It's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So for that reason, I was kind of bored by it. But Brendan Fraser was a delight. He's very charming, and so is Rachel Weisz.
Really?
And
really?
Yeah. I found them both very charming.
I was reminded why in Encino Man, it's so great they don't give him any lines.
Well, I love that he's kind of this, like, gruff guy, and then he'll always have this, like, high-pitched squeal, kind of, like, yell when he's talking. Anyway, so I'd say it's not that watchable for me.
Hmm.
So that's it for rewatchability this week. Thank you very much. You can find us on Twitter at Rewatchability. You can go to Facebook to join the conversation, facebook.com/rewatchability. If you can't, donate to patreon.com/rewatchability for extra stuff. Then please go to iTunes and you can rate us there out of some stars and leave a review. That really helps us. And
yeah, but don't type any curses or anything into your comments.
Because we will read them aloud.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the only way we can read.
Yeah. And we just want to thank our sponsors again and thank Antica for bringing us on board.
Yeah.
It's really great.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.